Welcome to episode 80.
What?
80th episode of the Breakdown Walls podcast. We're cruising toward that 100, man.
We gotta do something for 100.
Yeah. What should we do?
What do we do for 100? I don't know.
Because we already do an end of year episode. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's worth it to do like a best of the entire podcast so far thing?
I don't know. Like that would require editing.
Well, that's not what I was thinking. But yeah, I was thinking we'd just go over some of the best stuff that happened. Not really like play it like a best of IPSC kind of thing.
Yeah.
Oh boy. I don't have the time for that.
Oh man, that took. Dude. I remember that took you like days, I think.
It took me days. The best of ITSC, when we did the 100th ITSC episode, that took me days.
That was so good.
And when it was done, it was like 7 hours long.
It was so good. And most of it... Well, no, it wasn't most of it. A lot of it was... I don't remember. I remember a good portion of it was the CTU stuff, though.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of CTU stuff in there.
That CTU thing, though. That one thing we did, the... Nobody knows what the fuck we're talking about.
But... Nope, nobody does.
Oh man, that one CTU episode by itself was like 5 hours. I feel like
it wasn't 5 hours, but it was over 2.5, which for ITSC was very long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So for people that we're still in the intro. God.
Yep, we're still in the intro.
Tangent the intro. Holy shit.
But yeah. Whoa.
So for people that don't know, Brandon and I used to be in an EFED, which is basically a role-playing forum type thing for wrestling.
A fake wrestling federation.
Fake wrestling federation, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And I did a radio show for that every week. It was basically a podcast, but it was, we kind of called it a radio show.
Yep.
And it was it was an in-character show.
Yep.
And Sturlock used to be part of a stable called CTU, which was the counter-terrorist unit based on the CTU from 24, the popular Fox TV show. And it was hilarious.
This all stemmed from Misty. Like,
yep.
I was making a character, and I was just going to make a regular dude, like a normal wrestler type guy. And Misty had the idea to give me a gimmick. Because you guys were super... This was, like, the peak of, like, when you guys were super into 24. Like,
yeah, we were. We really were. Yep.
So, it was Misty's idea to give me a character that basically had... now, by, like, today's standards, this is pretty insensitive. But, like, he had a mental disorder that made him... It's like he would go through bouts. Like he would. It was like a personality switch.
Sometimes he'd be perfectly normal.
Sometimes he'd be normal.
Sometimes.
Other times, he would think he was Jack Bauer from 24.
And he would be utterly convinced he was Jack Bauer from 24. And he'd start yelling at people. Like,
yep.
Like, who are you working for?
And he would. This would be triggered by him beeping, literally saying beep, beep.
Yep.
Beep, like the
24 o'clock. Yep. Yep, it was a whole thing. We did a whole thing.
Those are funny
crazy times. Crazy times.
Yep.
And your CTU partner gave a U-Rule award to the guy who invented automatic flushing toilets.
Yeah. I don't remember who I gave mine to.
Chloe, I think.
Chloe, I think I might have given one to Misty's character too, or something.
Oh, I think you might have. I don't know.
I don't remember.
But anyway, welcome back to the Breakdown Walls podcast.
It's gonna be one of those episodes.
Not in the scored circle, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh
my god. Okay, so good news. I know we're still in the intro, but this is the time for this particular good news. Our guest is locked in, folks. We will have a guest on next week's episode.
Yay!
Because our recording time is set. Oh yes,
indeed.
We are going to record our interview very soon, and you will hear the dulcet tones of Gorilla on the show next week.
That's going to be a good one. I'm looking forward to that interview for sure.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be great. I think it's going to be awesome. Yeah, and so that's set for next week. So next week, promised interview. There you go. Boom. I finally did it.
Yeah.
And let's see. To this episode's going to be a fairly basic show. We have some cool stuff to talk about, some shocking stuff to talk about, and some fun stuff. So, you know, it'll be good. It'll be good. But let's get to the shocking stuff right away with some
gaming news.
Welcome to Gaming News. Okay. We begin this gaming news by destroying your brain.
Yeah, this one, this is a, I don't even have words.
Yeah, what do you even say?
Like, I know why it's a thing. It's like, it's definitely a case of like organizations trumping console manufacturers. It's crazy. I never thought, I mean, there was rumors that this was going to happen, or at least part of it was going to happen, but the other part of this is the really crazy part.
Yeah, okay, so let's reveal what it is.
Let's not talk in riddles.
Yeah, right. Let's not talk in riddles. In the dark of the moonlit night. What happened? We will tell you soon. Anyway.
When will that be now?
Soon. So here's what we knew before this came out. We already knew that MLB 21, the show, was coming to Xbox. That we knew.
That's what I was talking about, that we knew, yeah.
Yeah. But, ladies and gentlemen, get this, folks. Here we go. Are you ready? Is your brain prepared to explode? Because it's about to. MLB 21, the show, is not only coming to Xbox. Remember, a PlayStation-produced game. Not only coming to Xbox. It's coming to Game Pass on day one.
Yep. That is just like, what?
On day one.
Game Pass? What? Like,
Sony San Diego.
How do they do it?
How? Because like,
how do they do it?
They're not even giving it to PlayStation Plus people. No, it's coming to Game Pass.
Which that's weird. That part is weird to me. Like, I could understand if it was like a universe. Okay, Game Pass and
bring it to Game Pass and Plus. Yeah, okay,
sure, I could understand. But like, how do they keep? It's so weird. It's weird.
It's one thing for Xbox to score a deal and get a game on Game Pass day one. It's another thing entirely, in my opinion, to score a deal with Sony.
They must be throwing a lot of money around getting these Game Pass deals. They have to be.
Direct competitor.
Yeah. That's so crazy.
It's putting a game on Game Pass on day one. Now, I have such mixed feelings about this.
Yeah.
Because, like, on one hand, I guess it's good because I do like the fact that Xbox gamers are going to get into the MLB show craze, because it's every year it's called the best baseball simulation game of all time, you know, every year. So that's good. I like that. And stuff coming to Game Pass is good, because Game Pass is good. You know, say what you will. I keep saying it. I'll keep on saying it. Game Pass is a great deal. It's a tremendous value. Tremendous. No argument there.
Yeah.
But it just feels weird. Like, in spite of both of those good things, it still feels weird. Again, not coming to PlayStation Plus, only Game Pass. So, you know,
I wonder if MLB had something to do with that themselves? I don't know. Like,
That's a good question.
Did they offer money to MLB to make? I don't know. It's so weird.
That then forced Sony to do it. I don't know.
How do they keep getting these Game Pass deals like that? The day one,
especially this one.
Game Pass, like in general, yeah, I can understand stuff like that. But like these repeated day one deals like this, like holy crap! Like I understand it's probably limited; it won't be forever. But that's
it'll be like 3 months, probably.
That's probably how they're able to do it so easily, because it's not forever. It's very much a but day one, like
that'd be true with PS Plus though too, and they still didn't offer it to PS Plus people.
I don't know.
It'd be 1 month of PS Plus. Game Pass is typically 3 months.
That's true. That is so weird.
I know.
I don't think we'll ever know, but
no, we'll probably never know. It's just so weird. It just strikes me as so weird. Now, I guess on the other side of that coin, I think there might be a lot to be said for it maybe being better to play on PlayStation. And I know that's thrown around a lot with these companies, but I think that actually might be true with this game. Because on the Xbox
because the DualSense.
The DualSense is part of it too, yeah. I was going to get to that. The DualSense definitely part of it. Xbox doesn't have that level of DualSense feedback, and we've already seen proof that that feedback can help with accessibility.
Yep.
Second of all, on Xbox, yes, you have your Dolby Atmos and Sonic for headphones and whatnot, but I've already made my opinion about that very clear. I don't think it's as good as they advertise it. On PS5, you have Tempest 3D Audio, which is good. It is really good. So
impressively good.
Yeah. So I still think PlayStation will be the best place to play MLB, but you know, if you have an Xbox console, I guess you can just play MLB.
Yeah.
just pay that Game Pass subscription, you just get MLB the Show. You know what's gonna be really weird? To launch that game on an Xbox. Because you know it's gonna show the PlayStation logo when you launch it.
Oh my god.
That new one, you know, like the one that shows with Marvel's Spider-Man and
yeah, oh wow.
You know, because they're showing that logo is at the beginning of every PlayStation game.
It's developed by Sony themselves.
Yeah, Sony San Diego, PlayStation studio specifically.
Oh my god.
Yeah,
it's gonna have so weird.
It's gonna have that PlayStation logo when you launch it and you're playing it on an Xbox. What the heck?
That's weird.
And you might be playing it for free on an Xbox. Oh my god. It's so weird. It's so weird.
We live in weird times.
We do live in weird times, man. It scares me. What else is going to be on Game Pass Day 1? The Last of Us 3.
Dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
Last of Us 3, Game Pass Day 1. Here you go.
Oh, God. No, that'll never happen. Not a million years.
Dude, I wouldn't have guessed MLB would happen. I wouldn't have guessed anything PlayStation would be on Game Pass, especially Day 1.
Yeah.
Since Sony themselves is not offering that for PlayStation users. Like,
Up next, Mario coming to PlayStation.
Yeah, there you go. Mario Mario 35.
Mario 35.
Nintendo added to PlayStation.
Oh, speaking of Mario 30, speaking of that, did you hear about the new one?
Yeah, the Pac-Man Battle Royale.
Pac-Man 99? That's cool.
Pac-Man 99. That's going to be frightening, I think. Like, thinking about that.
I think it's out now.
Is it out? Oh, is it out now? Oh, wow.
I think it's out now, yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, I can tell you this. Misty already, she saw the news about it last night. And she told me, she's like, nope. She's just not doing it. She's like, I got enough Battle Royale games to worry about. I'm not doing it.
It's very much a fad at the moment.
Yeah, it's you know, Tetris 99 is very popular. And she plays that one already. And she doesn't want to get into another one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Pac-Man 99, it sounds to me like it'd be chaotic and frightening, because dealing with the ghost is bad enough, but 98 other players besides you?
Yeah, that just sounds like, no thank you.
Yeah, that sounds terrifying. Like, what do you, like, I would imagine they'd do stuff like, if you, I could be wrong about this, but this makes sense to me for a Battle Royale scenario. Maybe if you get a fruit, you can eat other players. That's how you KO people.
Oh, that would make sense.
That would make sense to me. I could be wrong, but that makes sense.
I think just like Mario 35, I think Tetris lets you do this too. Like you can send stuff at players as well.
Yeah, I know Tetris does. Tetris lets you send rows of blocks.
I think you can send ghosts.
You can send more ghosts.
More ghosts, I think.
That's scary. That's very scary.
I'm not sure, but...
Scary, Pac-Man. Scary.
It sounds like it's going to be frantic and crazy. Nah.
Yeah. Ah, that's right. all right. So next item on gaming news is I wanted to... It's kind of a tangent, but it's also not because it could relate to something... later, I guess, or who knows, but I guess I want to discuss it anyway because it's just, to me, it's just so interesting. I've never been involved in this particular type of thing before. So I, along with Misty, may have found a legitimate bug with PlayStation 5.
Yep.
And
I know exactly what this is pertaining to, and this is frustrating as all heck too.
It's frustrating, but it's
good that it was reproduced.
Yeah, it was reproduced. So to begin at the beginning here, I was really excited about Diablo this season, and I actually talked about this on the podcast. I was like, my god, look at what they're doing with the follower system. You know, I was talking about that stuff. So I was all set up and ready. I was ready to play Diablo again. I was just ready. So we actually started doing that. Me and Misty launched into the new season on the day it started. The first day of the new season, we launched into it. We got some levels. You know, we created our characters. We got some levels. We did some stuff. And then it came time to equip my gear, which Misty always helps me with anyway. Or a sighted person. Either Misty or Billy typically would help me with gear.
Yeah.
So the way we do this is I open a share play, she connects to it, and she equips my gear when needs to be done, you know, messes with my skills, does, you know, just basically boosts me up, and then she leaves and relaunches her game, and we keep doing the same thing over and over again. Well, I mean, we do, you know, you get the idea. We go back into the game, we get more levels, and more things happen. So she does that. She equips more gear for me. She sets me up. She leaves the share play. And then she's suddenly unable to launch her own copy of the game. So, on the initial stream of Diablo 3, we took this as a one-off. We was like, okay, that's really weird. It shouldn't have happened, but it's probably just a one-time glitch. We couldn't figure out how to resolve it. We even tried having her restore the license for the game, and that didn't work. So, like, okay, fine. It's a one-off glitch. Just delete and reinstall the game, and we'll do it again. So for the rest of that stream, I just played story mode for the new people on stream who hadn't seen me do that before, and which actually to me was really cool because it got more people interested in Diablo 3.
Yeah, I mean you have a lot of new,
I do,
regular viewers who haven't really seen a whole lot of Diablo things. So
yeah, I'm considering continuing that story mode. It's still in the same spot, so I could do that. But
that'd be your second Twitch story mode.
Yes, playthrough. Second story mode playthrough on stream.
Technically third.
Did I do it twice?
You started one ages and ages ago on YouTube, I think it was, before
I did.
Or you actually started streaming regularly.
Yeah, you're right, I did. Huh, that's interesting. I forgot all about that.
I used it as, I didn't because I, when I first got Diablo, used it as a reference to
start to figure out how to play it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's good. That's good. It's proving to still be valuable. That's good.
Yep.
All right. So we wrote it off. She deleted and reinstalled the game, and I just played some story mode for that the rest of the stream. But we wanted to keep going, and we realized that the initial grind to level 70 isn't particularly fun. It's after 70 that it gets really fun. So me and Misty agreed to play some off stream to try to get to 70. And then, you know, we'll place on stream after we got to 70, while we're trying to actually build the sets we're trying to get.
Yeah. And once you hit 70, man, those paragons just,
they flow in.
That's crazy how fast they come in.
Yeah. And that's where it gets really fun. Cause you can do Nephilim.
It's
at that
fun
point.
Hearing the doo, 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 doo,
yeah. Yeah. It is.
Oh my
it is.
God.
It is. I level up. But, So that was our agreement. We were just going to play some off stream, get to 70, and then stream it again once we were 70. So we played again. And I needed a gear upgrade again. And so she did it again. Connected to SharePlay, upgraded my gear for me, left the SharePlay, and the same thing happened.
Yep.
She lost the ability to launch the game. Nothing would fix it. And we had to, again, she had to delete and reinstall the entire game. I was like, what the heck, man? Like, how does this even happen? Like, yep. All a SharePlay really is a video feed that then becomes the ability to send input from the controller. That's all it is.
Yeah.
So why would it affect the game like this? I still don't know the answer to that question, but
yep.
Basically what happened is we ended up getting in touch with PlayStation Support, and PlayStation Support had no freaking idea what to do.
Mm-hmm.
PlayStation Support was terrible. I mean, really terrible. I hate to say it, but it's true. Yeah. Like
I saw you when you got really frustrated.
Yeah.
You moved up the chain, but
they threw some nonsense at me.
Is your PlayStation on? Is it plugged in?
Did you re-download the game? Keep in mind I already told them that she re-downloaded the game.
Yeah.
No, the very first question she asked me after I'd explained the situation, does she own the game? But I'd already explained everything, so it's very clear that obviously she owned the game. How could she have launched it in the first place if she didn't own the game? Right. Come on.
What?
It's just ridiculousness on that level just kept happening with them.
God.
And so, I took advantage of the fact that I have contacts at PlayStation now, and I sent it up the chain.
Yep.
And I also did another thing, too. Before I get to that, I actually ended up, so I thought I had narrowed down the problem in my head. I thought that maybe what the problem was maybe when she was share playing with me, who was playing the disc-based version of Diablo 3, maybe it was getting her license confused because she has the digital version.
Yeah.
You know, okay. I was still not entirely sure how this all was happening. But I figured maybe that was the problem.
But when you're looking for bugs, you have to think of shit like that.
Right, right. That's
because sometimes that can be the answer.
Sadly, it's part of my nature to think of crap like that.
Mm-hmm.
But so because of that, I did make an investment and I purchased the digital version. So now I'm not even running the disc version anymore. Because I figured
money.
Yeah, because I figured that I might have to in order to make this go away.
Yeah.
Like I really thought that would fix it. And guess what? It didn't. The same exact thing still happens.
Crap.
So, but it is what it is. It's whatever. Like,
yeah.
The way I see it is that disc got a lot of use out of it, and I love Diablo 3 enough that I can be okay with that purchase. You know. Yeah. So there you go. Now I don't need the disc anymore. That's one advantage.
Yep.
And the saves are the same, so I didn't lose anything. So. I finally escalated up the chain.
Oh, I have an idea.
You do?
I have an idea of what you can do with that disc.
Oh, really?
You could save Ray a bit of money when she gets a PS5. And
I could.
Send that disc away.
I could do that. Yeah. I'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
That'd be a good use for it.
She has expressed interest in playing with us when she...
Good, good. I will happily do that. I will happily do that. I have it right here, right beside me right now.
Yep.
So there you go. There you go. We'll work that out. Look at this stuff happening on the podcast. All right. So I escalated up the chain using my contacts at PlayStation, which was the best move I could have possibly made.
Yeah.
Because they, number one, since they knew me, they knew to listen to what I was saying instead of just telling me to do random crap, which is really awesome of them. So that not only did they listen, the guy read the whole thing. I wrote the most detailed and comprehensive thing that I could about all the things we had tried to do.
Yep.
Including the whole purchasing of the digital version and everything. And they read the whole thing, and they still want us to try something, which we do still need to try. Me and Misty still need to try one more thing. They said, try it with other games you both own.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was going to ask that if this is just a Diablo phenomenon or if it is just share play in general.
Yeah, they still want us to try that, but
yeah.
there's a little bit more to that as well that I'll get to in a second. But they said, so we still need to try that, but they, even though we hadn't tried it yet, we still actually have to do that. I think we're going to do that today. they send up to consumer services, like the big, like the next level up from customer support, you know, consumer services, yeah. like is the people that you go to when customer service doesn't do their job. Right. they send up to them.
Consumer the people services that, called that me. More know what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Consumer services called me. First they emailed me and then they called me. And then what they said was, I have some really good news for you. We were able to recreate based on your email that we saw from this guy at PlayStation. We were able to recreate this bug on our end. So you're not crazy. I was like, oh, my God, thank goodness.
Yeah.
Thank goodness I'm not crazy. And they said, we have sent this up to our engineering team who is working with the content team to try to resolve it.
Good.
And we'll let you know what happens. And they said, since this is a potentially an engineering/content issue, it could take a couple weeks to get resolved or even to know what we're going to do to resolve it.
That's probably going to be a straight up firmware patch for the PlayStation itself.
I have to imagine it's PlayStation.
Yeah,
I have to imagine it's.
I don't think it's a Diablo thing. I think it's a PlayStation.
No, I can't see it being a bug with the game. But here's the thing: there is one piece of evidence. So, even though me and Misty haven't tried other games we own on SharePlay, according to PlayStation Consumer Services, when they called me, they said they actually did try a couple other games, and Diablo 3 was the only one this happened to.
Huh.
So if there's any evidence That's supporting so that it is weird. Diablo problem, it is really weird.
Why
though.
Would that be exclusive to Diablo and not?
It's very strange because we were very careful once this started happening. When we were doing tests to see if it was still happening, I made sure that Misty closed her game, closed it completely.
Yeah.
Before launching my SharePlay, and we even double checked after she closed her game. We double checked that it was still launchable immediately after being closed. And before entering my SharePlay,
right.
You know? So we were as careful as we could be.
Yeah, because that was another avenue that could be causing the bug too. Oh, maybe when you close the game, that's when it gets rendered.
Right. I was thinking maybe the problem might have been in the suspend itself. Because the first time it happened, we didn't even have her close the game at all. And so it was just the PlayStation suspending her game while it launched the SharePlay. And I figured maybe that was the problem. But, you know, no, it wasn't. Nope. But yeah, they said they tried a couple other games and they didn't tell me which ones, but they said a couple other games and it didn't happen. But I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, even though that evidence points to it being Diablo 3 specifically, I just can't understand what would cause that.
It's so weird that it's only with Diablo 3.
Well, like I said, though, we need to try other games. I'm going to try to break her Mortal Kombat copy, I guess, is what we're going to settle on.
Yeah.
We're going to see if that happens.
Yep.
But at least it's been reported. It's being worked on by engineering and the content team, which is awesome.
It's going to get fixed now.
Yeah. If there's a fix, it's going to get fixed. And that's good because, dang it, I want to play Diablo 3.
I want to play Diablo 3 too.
You know what? I'll talk about it on the podcast. In fact, I might even go into more detail. Why not? It's a tangent episode again.
Yeah. Totally tangent episode.
So I was telling Sturlock a little bit about the build that I'm going to be running this season, but I didn't tell you everything, Sturlock. I didn't tell you everything. I didn't tell you how it works. what I told him, I gave him the highlight. The highlight is the wizard build, the very kind of popular wizard build called Firebirds. It's a wizard set in Diablo 3. It used to be a build that we couldn't run as blind people, or at least not very effectively. We did try to run it, but if you're blind, it's not great, because what it used to do is when you used the disintegrate fire spell, it would ignite enemies. Actually, when you used any fire spell, I think it ignited enemies, and those enemies would take a certain amount of damage until they died, and then if you ignited elites, that damage would be hugely, hugely expanded, but only while the elite was ignited and alive. So what you were supposed to do is run around till you found an elite, ignite the elite, don't touch them, keep them alive, and then kill everyone else around you besides the elite with the damage that you, the bonus damage you have, then kill the elite.
Definitely not.
There's no way we could run that effectively.
No way.
We tried. And it did not work out.
Yeah,
because the thing is, when you're blind, although you can play the game, you can't pick your targets very well.
Especially with Diablo, with like you've got hundreds or thousands of enemies, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no way to pick
no,
your targets.
No way.
So here's, so as it happens, they totally reworked Firebirds with the most recent patch. They totally reworked it. And it became, it went from a build we couldn't run to one we can. Now, I'm going to, for the first time, so what I told Sturlock was the big number highlight, but now I'm going to tell you everything about how it works, Sturlock. Here we go. The two-piece bonus does kind of the same thing that it used to do. Enemies ignite. Actually, no, it's actually a little bit different. The two-piece bonus no longer requires you to do any fire damage. It just says disintegrate, just the spell, not the fire rune on the spell, just the spell in general. Disintegrate ignites enemies, and those enemies will take 3,000% weapon damage until they die. like every like 3,000% weapon damage every like 2 seconds until they die.
Mm-hmm.
That's the two-piece bonus. Also, that comes with the other cool thing the Firebirds came with, where you get an extra life when you lose all your life. A meteor comes down, hurts enemies, and brings you back to life.
Nice.
So you get that with a two-piece bonus. The four-piece bonus gives you what are called combustion stacks. These combustion stacks, you build one combustion stack every enemy you ignite. And the only thing the combustion stacks do with the four-piece bonus is decrease the cooldown on teleport by 2% per combustion stack. But here's the thing. You can stack up to 50 combustion stacks, which is a complete 100% cooldown reduction on teleport.
Teleport.
Yeah, you with the four-piece bonus, you're going to be moving and grooving. And keep in mind, teleport safe passage, the rune on teleport that called safe passage gives you 5 seconds of 25% damage reduction after a teleport. So you could have 100% uptime on damage reduction too.
God.
Oh, also, four-piece bonus does one more thing. Regardless of how many stacks, combustion stacks you have, you actually get 80% damage reduction just for having any combustion stacks.
Whoa.
So.
Oh, my God.
There you go. Okay. Now.
That's really
good. Now, the six-piece bonus. Casting any other non-channeling fire-based spell with a six-piece bonus will do damage equal to ignite times the number of combustion stacks. You can have 50 combustion stacks. Ignite does 3,000% weapon damage until the enemy dies. That means any non-channeling fire spell is going to do, with full combustion stacks, 150,000% weapon damage.
What the hell? Dude, that's broken.
Oh, but it gets better.
That's so broken.
It gets better. Okay, here's let me explain a little bit more, Sturlock.
Oh my god.
Since you don't need the fire rune to make this the two-piece bonus proc, on disintegrate, you use the Chaos Nexus rune. What the Chaos Nexus rune does is it creates, instead of a beam of disintegrate, it creates an area of effect of disintegrate, which multiple enemies can be in at the same time. This is the quickest way to build up a bunch of combustion stacks really quickly. Go right into teleport into a group of enemies. Boom.
Yeah.
Zap with the Chaos Nexus, you're getting combustion stacks like crazy, right?
Yep.
And they're ignited. So that's that. On top of that, the recommended skill to do damage is Explosive Blast Chain Reaction. So instead of one explosion, you're getting like five or six explosions.
Wow.
On top of that, the other part of this build is a skill called Mirror Image Duplicates. The duplicates...
Oh, no.
When you cast this spell, you will spawn four duplicates of yourself that will cast spells on your skill bar automatically for 7 seconds until they die, because they can actually be killed.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's one particular spell. I believe it's Magic Blade, I think, or Magic Weapon, Flame Blades, I think. That's the spell that you don't really need to cast. You utilize your mirror images to cast it for you. Mm-hmm. You just have it there, so they have something to cast.
Yeah.
Because they cast non-channeling spells, too. Specifically non-channeling spells, I guess. The point is that whatever they cast, it's always going to be a fire-based spell. So you don't just have you doing 150,000% weapon damage. You have five versions of you doing 150,000% weapon damage. The damage of your pets doesn't count. They're doing Firebird damage, not their own damage.
Yeah.
So they're all doing 150,000% weapon damage.
Oh my god. That's not broken at all.
Dude, oh my god. There is a reason why this build is actually up for it's not confirmed yet, but it's currently in the running for the best build of the entire season. Not just of the Wizards, for everyone.
Yeah.
It's in the running.
Dad, I would not be surprised if Billy plays that.
Oh yeah, and the best part is we can run it. It doesn't rely on elites. Yeah. Wait,
that's so good.
I know.
Oh, it's so good.
And there's other things there's other stuff too. Like there's stuff that increases your
Here's
what?
Oh, sorry.
There's stuff that increases your individual bits of this, like you can increase non-channeling spells by 325% with one of the items you have to equip. So that'll just increase it even further. You know, it's a bunch of amazingness.
God, that's
I can't wait to run this build.
Oh, that's gonna be so fun.
The way Riker described it, he was like, "Here's how the gameplay works. here's how the gameplay works. Teleport to get your damage reduction. Go into find a group of enemies, use disintegrate to ignite them, build up your combustion stacks, teleport in the middle of them, and then start using your explosive blast." And he said, he's like, "Remember this, never not be casting explosive blast. That's your gameplay." He called it Nenekeb. Never not be casting explosive blast.
Yep. Wow.
It's something else, dude. I can't wait. In fact, this is the build that Riker himself is running this season. I went into his chat. On opening night when the season started, he was doing a stream of it. And I told him that this is my plan, and he knows who I am because I've been introduced to him before. And he knows that I'm one of his one of the few blind Diablo 3 players out there. And he actually wished me best of luck on the build. He's like, "Oh, best of luck to you, man. I'm running that too. I'm running Firebirds too this season. And man, I want to run it."
That's so cool.
And that's why I was so affected by this bug happening. Because now I really wanted to get back into it. And this bug is like, "Nope. Sorry."
Yeah.
But hopefully this gets fixed, and hopefully it's relatively soonish. And yeah, if it is, then heck, I'm gonna run this build like crazy, man.
Yep.
I can't wait. I can't wait.
I know. It's gonna be great.
And with the things they do with followers, all the modifications to the follower system, it makes playing this build solo even easier. Even easier.
good.
Okay. There's not enough words.
It's like, it's crazy that a game that came out in, what, 2012?
2013 on PS4, I believe.
Yeah. It's crazy that an 8-year-old game is still getting these awesome updates. And
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, it's really good. 150,000% weapon damage, Sterloff. 150,000%! You know what's funny? I used to think the Archon build was good because I never played it because I don't like the Archon skill for Wizards. But the Archon build is like 25,000% weapon damage, and I was like, "Oh my god, that's amazing! I can't believe it."
Yeah.
And now here we are, 150,000% weapon damage.
That's excessive.
It's a lot. There's footage of a Firebirds wizard running this build, completing a 145 rift solo. So,
oh my god.
Yeah.
Yeah. Holy crap.
I want it.
Yeah.
I want all of it. I'm here for it.
That's so cool.
Yep. All right. Let us move forward to our spotlight on Bodlybap.
Yes.
Thank you, Sturlock, for the introduction there. Because I knew not about this person until Sturlock messaged me and said, oh my god!
Yeah, and you found out about the same time that I did.
Oh, really? Okay.
So, last week, I think it was.
Yeah, it was last week. Yeah.
They, RetroPals, mentioned, I think she raided them or something to that effect. And they were like, oh, thanks, Bodlybap. And like, they're explaining what she does. And the explanation was, I was so intrigued. I have to check this out because this sounds amazing and it sounds perfect for blind people. Like, just by the sheer nature of it.
Yeah.
And I was right.
Do tell them, Sturlock. Tell the listeners out there why it's perfect.
So what Bodlybap does is she translates Japanese exclusive games on the fly. Meaning she reads the, you know, text aloud.
Yep.
She's literally just translating the Japanese.
Yep.
Into English.
Right there in real time.
Right there in real time, and she's quick with it too. Like it's so cool.
It's really cool. It's literally a doorway into games that we wouldn't be able to access at all, you know, otherwise.
Yep. And she's super open to like suggestions. It's like, hey, if there's a game you want to see, just let me know. And
yeah.
So I already have ideas. So
there you go.
I definitely would like to get her on the show at some point for an interview. Yep. I think she'd be really, really good. I know she'd be open to it because I don't know if you saw the tweets she sent you the other day that were super, super nice.
I think I saw one of them. I saw one that thanked both of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That was really nice for
her. Where like she had like clearly like done her.
Oh yeah.
Like,
she did her homework on us. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's yeah. I'd be honored to have her.
She's like, I'm going to do my best to actually even be descriptive and stuff. And just like, oh my God, like she's such a cool, nice, amazing person. And like, just man, it's so cool. She's definitely
BDW material.
Yeah. BDW material and just like and kind of competing with like RetroPals for like one of my favorite
I love RetroPals too, man.
Yeah.
RetroPals is great. I need to actually be in more of their streams. I watch a lot of their archives, but I'm almost never in their stream. I always miss it.
They're on at weird times, especially for you. Like
yeah, I tend to miss it a lot.
Yeah.
But Bodlybap, I'm all about it. I would be honored to have her on the show at some point if we can get her.
Yep.
But next week of course is Gorilla, which I'm also happy to have.
Little challenging because of time zones. I think she's
time
in
zones.
UK.
Yeah, yeah.
But
we'll work it out. We always do.
Oh yeah.
We got Pramit from India on our show, so why not? You know, we'll work it out. It's fine.
Exactly. I know she would be all up for being on the show.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll definitely look into it. So that is it for gaming news. And the reason I put Bodlybap last there is kind of it's a good segue, I think, into the next segment. Unless you have anything else, Sherlock. Is there anything else in gaming news?
I don't know. I don't know what this falls into, but.
Well, if you don't know, you might as well just throw it out there.
It's this is becoming its own segment, I swear. The whole, I don't know, like, gaming stuff was weak. So, I decided to try again Pokemon Mystery Dungeon Rescue Team DX on the Switch. And the thing that intrigued me about this game was the fact, and it's advertised like pretty heavily in like the description of the game, and this game has auto mode, much like Catherine Full Body.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Mm-hmm. So we actually don't need to navigate. Well, I say with an asterisk, but we actually don't need to navigate the dungeons. All we need to worry about is using items to heal and fight and things like that.
Yeah, okay.
Which is fine because, like, it's, you know, quasi turn based. By which I mean, like, things don't happen until you move. And what auto mode does is it will stop at either an enemy or the next floor and things like that. And it'll automatically pick up items for you also. And so,
man,
what sucked about this, if you're blind, is you don't get access to auto mode until you reach the second floor of the tutorial dungeon.
Oh, no.
So you have to feel your way and hope that you get to the second floor. And, you know, you're kind of on a bit of a time limit. And there's also a hunger mechanic, so you've got that to worry about, too. And dungeons are randomized, so...
Oh no!
You just have to be really lucky, unless you want to like. I was almost to the point where I was just going to ask Ray, like, "Can you help me get to the second floor?"
This yeah,
quick, because yeah. I mean that it wouldn't have taken but like 2 minutes, if
right?
That. Right. Better than whatever. But I actually managed it last night.
Oh, okay. Well, good.
I actually managed it twice technically, because the first time I died to hunger. When I got this,
oh, that floor. Sucks!
But oh. I did it. I managed to do it again, like a half hour later. So okay, and now I can play pretty regularly. The only thing that's a bit of a is navigating the town.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Which is, I mean, it's small, so I feel like if we got somebody sighted to help us do like a step count,
yeah,
to maybe get to important landmarks, because there are landmarks that you need, that you want and need to go to,
kind of like Diablo 3 with the rolling.
Yeah. and it's grid based, so you could literally do a step counter. It wouldn't be hard to do.
Yeah. Okay.
The only thing that's kind of sucky is there's no footstep sounds.
Oh wow. Okay.
That's kind of disappointing, but like. I don't know. I feel like it could be manageable and fine.
Yeah.
Just the only sucky thing, if you're a blind person, is just that very first floor of the tutorial
dungeon. Yeah, just getting there, yeah.
Just getting there, because you can't map that because it's random.
Man.
So that part kind of sucks, but once you get past that, I've been having fun with it. I actually beat the demo.
Oh, cool.
And that was kind of like my, like, okay, I can actually buy this game now because I actually beat the demo. So yeah,
that was the
I don't feel run. Bad spending $60 on this game. Yeah, on this game. So.
Well, yeah, that's, I mean, hey, there's nothing wrong with a game that requires a little bit of help. You know, Diablo 3 is a game that requires a little bit of help, but it's a game we love.
So I see, and it's got an interesting story, too.
Yeah.
So I honestly kind of feel like this might be an interesting game for you to stream at some point.
Yeah, it might be. Just,
even though you're not really a Pokemon guy, but
yeah, I would consider it. I would definitely consider it. I will definitely consider. I feel like I have a lot to do right now, but I'll definitely consider it at some point.
Yeah.
And I also will admit that I'm doing a little bit of an experiment. Like, even though I do have a lot of games that I want to stream, I'm also experimenting this Friday. If you didn't miss,
we should talk about that.
Yeah, might as well talk about it. It's even though we're it's fine. This is another segue. Sure. Whatever. Okay. So I'm experimenting this Friday. Coming off of the fact that I've played now yet another Choice of Games adventure that I really, really loved. It's Vampire the Masquerade Night Road, is the one I just recently played, finished, and really, really loved. I finally decided to look into ChoiceScript and to see what it was like and to see how easy or difficult it would be to do. And guess what? It's shockingly easy.
Nice.
Like, it's really easy. They use very simple language for every part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you want to check a variable, it's like an if-then statement. If you want to add a choice, it's just like asterisk and then choice and then what you want the choice to be. It's...
Oh my god! Even I could get my head around that one.
Yeah, it's super easy to do. So I was like, you know what? Let's have fun with this. Because one of the things I've enjoyed doing...
Even Ray's cats could do it. Ray's been teaching her cats if statements.
There you go. There you go. So I figured... Because I've done little things like this before, like with the Sable beta and stuff like that. I like the idea of community-based creativity. So this Friday... We're doing an experiment, an experimental stream that I hope is successful personally, because I would love to do more than one, where we're going to try to create, I'll be doing the writing, but we're going to try to create a Choice of Games little adventure together with my chat.
Yep.
So, you know, I'm not going to make any decisions right now as to what it is. Like, it's all going to be decided by us together in chat. So if you want to be a part of that, then hey, come on in on Friday. My stream, and we'll give it a shot and we'll see what we come up with. Even if we don't take full advantage of it, like even if we don't make any like variable stuff, you can make, and even the manual, by the way, Sherlock points this out, if you just memorize the fact, you know, like how to do it, the choice command, you can make a typical choose your own adventure book just with that alone.
Yeah,
that's it. Like, that's all you need for like an old school choose your own adventure where there's no stats or variables.
Yep.
That's all you need.
Yeah.
So even if it's just that, that's fine. But I want to try making something with that script and with my community.
Yep.
So that's going to be what we do on Friday. So there you go.
Very cool.
I think it's going to be fun. And you know what? If you do want to get into it, if you do want to see if we can experiment with some variables and stuff like that, fine. I'll look into it. I'll do that too. We'll figure it out. It seems like the language of ChoiceScript itself is simple enough that if people decide, yes, we want stats and variables, it shouldn't take me too long to figure out how to make that work. Like, it seems like everything you do is just simple language. So
that's good.
Yeah.
When you hear the words like ChoiceScript, you're like, oh, this is going to be complicated. And
yeah, but it's really not. Like, even the little bit that I looked into, it's just not. It's very easy.
Nice.
And I like it. I like it a lot. I thought it was going to be a lot of like creating new HTML pages and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, that too. Yeah,
but it's not. You do everything. Apparently, is just, you do it in one document, and the choice script takes care of the pages itself. Like,
oh, nice.
Yeah. When you set a choice, and then the person makes that choice, and they hit next, choice script takes care of what comes up on the next page based on what you wrote.
Wow.
So.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's way less.
I can see why there are so many hosted games events, because it's just, you can just focus mostly on writing. And
yeah.
Like, oh, okay.
Yeah, and here's the cool thing. And let me first say that there's no requirements when we're actually doing this stream on Friday. There's zero requirements. However, if the thing that we make is in any way a cohesive story, like I'm not requiring that, because if chat wants to go nuts, then I'm going to allow chat to go nuts. Okay. But if the thing we make is in any way a cohesive story, maybe I will try to get it put into a hosted games thing.
Yeah, why not?
I would imagine that's not very hard either, because here's something I didn't know. When you are working with ChoiceScript, you actually have a choice of games like server thing open that connects to their server. So I guess they have everything that you do already or something. I don't really understand that part of it, but yeah, there's like an application you have open while you're writing ChoiceScript.
Nice.
So I would imagine actually submitting it to them is probably also very easy.
Yeah. Very cool.
So yeah, man. I'm here for it. Let's see what happens on Friday. And at last, I think that'll do it for our first segment of gaming news. Which means it's finally time for
Accessibility.
Welcome to
Accessibility News.
Alrighty, Accessibility News starts off with a bang this time around, folks. This actually made me really happy. So number one, GA Conf Europe has just completed. It took place Monday and Tuesday this week, and it's now over. So if you were there, awesome. But if you missed it, get this. In the past, every year, before, it's always taken several months sometimes for the talks from a GA comp to end up on their YouTube channel. This time it took 0 hours and 0 minutes and 0 seconds. The initial stream was immediately available, and they've already separated all the talks from this year's GA comp Europe. Jeez. And they're already available on their YouTube channel, every single one of them. So if you missed it, very, very good. If you missed it, it's all there. In fact, it's in the same playlist as all the talks from previous GA comps from all previous years. So the whole thing is there. If you're an aspiring game dev who wants to learn more about accessibility, it's all there. Just look for a GA comp on YouTube. I believe it is in the I always forget but it's like it's IGDA, I believe. It's actually on their YouTube channel.
Yeah, okay.
But if you look up GA Comp, I think you'll still find it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's all there from this year to 2017, all the way back to the past.
Back to the past.
indeed. There's a grand total of 94 talks there that are available for free.
Wow.
Anyone to just go watch and learn things. And that includes the tremendous talk. I haven't watched any of the talks from this year yet, because I haven't had time. I couldn't attend the actual conference because it took place on too early a time for me to attend.
Yeah.
I do intend to watch some of the talks, but what I will use as an advertising sales point here is the tremendous, absolutely tremendous Last of Us 2 talk from last year, where Naughty Dog really delved into the how we did it of all this accessibility stuff we put in the Last of Us 2.
Yep.
That's a tremendous, it's an hour long talk that really delves into all the stuff we did. So
yeah,
that's my selling point. I did hear that Marcus Friend of PlayStation did a great talk this year. That's one of the ones I intend to watch.
Oh, good. Nice.
Yeah, so I want to see what he has to say, because he worked on the PS5 text-to-speech, among other things. So. And he also worked on Spider-Man accessibility as well, Spider-Man Miles Morales and all that. So
yep.
he's definitely a champion on our side, I'll tell you that right
absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely, yep.
So I'm going to listen to his talk and probably a few others too that I want to.
You know, check out. They should hire Dale Cruz.
Hey, that would be a good thing to do. Someone should.
Yeah, they should.
But to be fair, we don't really know what he's doing now. He could have been hired somewhere. We don't know it.
He could very well be under NDAs and stuff.
Yep.
So.
Yep, could be. I know how that goes.
Yep.
So check it out. Look for GA Comp on YouTube. Check out all the talks if you're interested. Even if you're not a game dev, if you just want to see how all this stuff works, if you just want a little peek into the inside of the industry and how that's working in terms of accessibility, then that's the place to go. Check it out, man. Check it out.
Yeah.
I remember just before we started recording, I didn't write this down, but I wanted to mention too that on stream, I played the demo of Hellhunter, which is a game, the latest game from a studio that I've had a lot of negative things to say about.
Yeah.
The Italian audio game studio or something like that. Audio game studio or audio game store or something like that. I can't remember what their exact name
is. Audio Game Association, I think.
Yeah, Audio Game Association, you're right. You're right. Audio Game Association, that's right. You are correct. I've had a lot of negatives about them. I feel like a lot of their games lately have been not very good. I feel like they are just kind of relying on quantity over quality for the most part.
Yep.
Now that I've said all that, now that we've given you that disclaimer, I have to say, I liked the Hellhunter demo.
It's not bad.
I liked it.
It's not bad. I haven't bought the full game, but like, yeah. It's actually does some cool things.
It actually got me with a plot twist, no spoilers, but it got me with one of its twists, which was nice. I definitely certainly wasn't expecting a game from that studio to get me like that. And it actually does like the intensity of the situation in certain times. It does it correctly.
Yeah.
So I'm surprised to say that I liked it and I might actually get the full game. I can't believe it. I can't believe you're saying that.
I mean, they're fairly cheap. It's like $5-6 a game usually. So
yeah. Yeah.
They finally figured out their pricing structure. Because before
that you make more if you yeah. Give a decent price, yeah.
Because their games used to be like $30 or
yeah, yeah,
like ridiculous amounts of money. Like no,
I did notice that they actually understand now mobile pricing as well.
Yeah,
because if you notice, their games are actually fairly cheap on iOS.
Mm-hmm.
I actually picked up a couple of their games on iOS because. I was looking at their iOS App Store page because I got an email about an Easter weekend sale from them. And it has a link to their main store and has a link to their iOS store. I was like, let me just see something.
Yeah, I saw you tweeted out a Space Wave Race.
I did,
thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I got Space Wave.
I like Space Wave Race. It's actually kind of fun.
It's not bad, yeah. Yeah. I was, you know, I don't know if I'm, I also got their moto racing thing, like the motorcycle
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not getting into that as much. I don't understand what they're trying to tell me with that game.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't seem to work like they say it works. I don't know. It seems weird to me.
I kind of want to try out Fury Driver Moonwalks.
Oh, yeah. Point. I don't think I've tried that one yet.
But that game, watching Liam play it, though, it definitely suffers from the old school point and click syndrome of where do I go now?
Oh, yeah, Fury Driver's the one where you're that cop, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right, that's right, that's right. Okay, fair enough. Yeah. But, you know, it's cool. Like, Hellhunter is...
good. Like,
Hellhunter's a step in the right direction for them.
Yeah.
What can I say? You know, can't argue with it.
It, You were kind of flabbergasted when I told you that something actually mattered, that they were... they like took
yeah.
time to explain. I was like, no, actually pay attention to that. It doesn't
yeah.
matter.
I seriously thought that was just a bunch of nonsense. And you're like, no.
Nope.
No.
Nope.
Oh, yeah. Yep. It does indeed matter. It matters multiple times, actually. Yeah,
it does. And they tell you. They actually do tell you.
Yeah, there's very unsubtle hints when it matters.
Which is good. I think that's how it should be.
If they didn't hint at that, people would just be super confused and be like, this game's broken. Stop playing it.
Yeah.
Why did I die all of a sudden? It doesn't make any sense.
So, yeah, no, stupid. It's a good thing they bring that up.
Yeah, yeah. They handled it right.
Yep.
And the game doesn't constantly fling the controls at you over and over again.
Press.
Which I really, I also like
to move.
Yeah, when you go to a new location, it just says that this is where you are.
Yep.
Thank goodness.
It's like, thank you. It's all we need. It's.
Yeah. They're slowly figuring it out, I think.
It's like, if they could redo.
I wish they would.
The Inquisitor. Like,
I wish they would.
And fix the bugs. And make Inquisitor 3 not shit. Or was it
4?
No, 4.
4, yeah.
4.
I wish they would.
4 was a terrible game.
Yeah.
They got, I think the 4's problem is they got too ambitious with what they wanted to do. It's like, no, you really can't do that with the engine that you're making your games in.
They tried to make a really, really large scope game and it bit them.
It's like, no, your games are point and click. That's what your engine does. Don't try and reinvent the wheel with that. It's okay.
And apparently occasionally decent racing. Like I said, Space Wave Race is not bad. Space
Wave Race is a fun little thing. I was happy paying $5 for it.
Yeah. Dude, I got it on iOS, so I paid $2 for it.
Yeah, I bought it on PC, so I paid a little extra. But yeah, no, it's like we said, we'll call out when stuff is bad and not, but we'll also make sure to mention when things are good.
Yeah, yeah.
Hellhunter
even
is decent.
Even though I will be the first person to admit that I fully never expected to have a good thing to say about them. I hate to say that, but like,
yeah,
the impression that I was getting with the last few games is okay, we're just gonna keep turning them out. It's all gonna be
Western
crap.
Drama is decent too.
Is it though?
Yeah.
Because I listened to the beginning of that game and the voice acting just turned me all the way off. And I was just like, no.
Yeah. It's okay.
Sherlock, if you're saying it's decent, I'll probably end up trying it.
I mean, I haven't bought it because I watched Liam play it and that was kind of enough for me. Like, okay, I experienced this game. I don't really need to play it, but I don't know. It's worth at least a watch.
No, it's worth a watch.
It's worth a watch. I think Hellhunter definitely is their best
in a while.
So weird. That's so weird. Yeah, because like Inquisitor 1 was so good.
It was.
Inquisitor 1 was really good. That made me feel like, oh, accessible point and click. Like, this is something I've always wanted. Cool.
Yeah, it was like Chillingham the next.
Yeah.
I was. I've always liked Inquisitor 1. I've always said so too.
Yeah,
I've always liked Inquisitor 1.
Yep.
But in spite of the fact that there is still a pretty serious bug in the later portion of that game, I still always have liked it.
That whole series has been very buggy.
Oh, here comes Anna Banana.
Hi, Anna Banana.
What do you have to say on the podcast?
Meow.
Nope, she gave me kisses instead.
No. God, that cat loves
that
you.
That cat, she is my cat.
Yep.
She lets me hold her when she won't let anyone else hold her.
Bob is Misty's cat, and Anna's your cat.
Yep. Yep, that's the way it goes around this house. So yeah. Hellhunter is good.
Yeah.
And I may do a full playthrough on stream. Because I actually like the demo and that's awesome to be able to say. So
yeah. And apparently it's been left open, and apparently he actually has said that he is making a sequel. So,
well, actually, I believe, isn't there something, I can't remember if it's, yeah, I think it's on the website. It doesn't say it in the game itself, but I think on the website, isn't it actually called Episode 1?
I don't remember. I don't remember seeing that.
I thought I saw something that said Episode 1, but I could be mistaken about that, I suppose.
I wouldn't be surprised, though, because that's a common thing that they do. They'll say like, oh, Episode 1, you know, even when there's no sequels yet.
Even there's Space Wave Race Episode 1.
Oh god. Yeah,
it's funny. No, but yeah, it gives me a little bit of hope.
Blind Quest this is not.
Yeah, thank god.
Blind Quest is awful.
Blind Quest is terrible.
Yep.
Blind Quest just makes me sad.
Even with the redesign, it's still terrible.
It was not enough. It wasn't enough.
Ew.
But this seems all right. So look forward to it, because I'll probably play the whole thing on stream.
Yep.
Let's see. Is there anything else? Because that's all I wrote down for accessibility news, but I wanted to make sure there was nothing else. Anything that you can think of?
I don't know. Not really. I mean,
Animal Crossing Mario pipes are really cool. But other than that, you know.
Yeah, there's a fishing tournament on Saturday, apparently.
Oh, cool.
That Ray wants to do.
Yeah, that's awesome. I do like the fishing.
Yep.
I can't believe how much fish I missed out on because I didn't realize there was a difference in the, you know, in-game difference between ocean fish and river fish.
Oh, yeah.
So I missed a bunch of fish.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I always fished from the beach, but now I'm teaching myself to fish from the river, too.
Oh, yeah. Other than that,
I think that's about it.
I think that's about it.
Night Road is awesome. Everyone should play it. Night Manager is awesome. Everyone should play it.
I'll probably go play Night Road, actually, after the podcast.
Yeah, yeah. How's that going for you?
Pretty good. I haven't picked it back up yet, but...
have you chosen a clan yet?
Yeah, I'm the... whatever the royalty clan was. The ones that can't consume... like bagged or animal blood.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Right. I can't remember which one that is either.
I can't remember all the names, but
clan names. I mean, there's 12 of them total if you have all the expansions.
Yeah, so. I went ahead and bought all the expansions and
yeah, there's 12 clans.
Yeah.
So yeah, I know which one you're talking about. Like in general, like I don't know the name either, but I know.
But I like
which one you're talking about.
I like that about this game that like there are like restrictions. And things like that, like that your class has, like that's cool. Like,
yeah, each clan has a kind of a clan weakness.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I'm currently in my second run. I'm playing as, again, I can't remember the name. I'm playing as the clan whose weakness is I have a thirst for vitae, which is the blood of other vampires. There is a chance that I will consume body and soul another vampire.
Whoa.
There is a chance.
Whoa, that's kind of cool.
I know.
So, and I haven't even gotten into like powers and stuff. I'm looking forward to that stuff. Like, oh.
Yeah, yeah, you'll be happy with it. It's really well done.
No, I can tell the writing is excellent.
Yep, it sure is. It surely is. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it. I think it's outro time, guys. So let's get to our outro, and that'll be it for this week. This has been episode 80 of the Breakdown Walls podcast. 80. I want to point that out again. 80. We're cruising up to 100, folks. We might do a best of the whole show at 100. Just have a like talk about what the... You know, the entire show.
We should do something for 100, definitely.
Yeah, I feel like we should.
Good milestone.
Because last time when we did the end of the year, I literally only went back to the beginning of the previous year to look for what to include. So 100 should be a best of the whole dang thing. And yeah, some of the things will be repeats, but there certainly might be more, this time around with a 100. So, yeah. Yeah, man. Good times. Anyway, we're still 20 episodes away from that, but still, it feels like it's close now, you know?
Yeah.
Even though that's like 5 months from now, if we don't skip a week. But yeah, coming up. So, speaking of things that are coming up, next week, as I mentioned in the intro, but we'll mention it again here, we do officially have a guest. We're recording his interview soon. The Mighty Gorilla of Audio Described Content fame. Is joining us for an interview. It's going to be awesome, and I look forward to asking him all the questions and learning all the things and all the secrets, all the gorilla secrets.
One of the pioneers of the whole movement of like her, like him and Cello. I feel like.
Well, there's also Matt.
I'm thinking of Matt. Matt was the one that kind of started it.
Yeah, I would say Matt probably.
And then Cello. Yeah.
And then Cello. Yeah.
Oh, I miss Cello.
Yeah, I miss Cello too. I do. I surely do. Also, Barley Bap just went live on Twitch.
Hey.
check out Barley Bap. Gonna mention Barley Bap again because Barley Bap is tremendous.
Yep.
Like we said,
just a segment. nice person,
like, really kind person.
Yeah.
Translates Japanese exclusive games in real time, live. Reads all the text, of course, because it's a translation. So there you go. And it's just naturally the perfect kind of stream for a blind viewer. So
yep.
Check her out as soon as you can because it's awesome. That is going to do it. I'm looking forward to next week. I'm sure we'll have some cool stuff to talk about along with the interview. So I'm thinking next week's going to be a really great show. Thanks as always for listening. Please feel free to provide us feedback, make suggestions, tell us to correct ourselves because it's been done before and it's perfectly fine.
Yep.
We'll take corrections. We'll take suggestions. Anything you want to hear us talk about, we'll probably discuss it. And that's that. So guys, I'm Brandon Cole and he's Stirlock. And we shall see you guys next week.